702.
Weird and wonderful.
Mohaile Mo Hajra is my guest, engineer, historian, and founder of Darkipedia. Mohaile, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me on this very important subject on the weird and wonderful. What is the collective name of the issues we are raising? Superstition? What is it?
Good evening, Aubrey, and the listeners.
Good evening to you, my brother.
Aubrey, we're talking about superstitions, and then there's taboos. What you could call Kasetswana Mila or Basipedi. And in Nguni, you could refer to them as Ichilo. You know, Kulichilo, Ubona, Umundus Mame, Edla Inyama, and Sok, you know?
Yes.
So it's taboos, and then that's the one category, and then in the other category is superstition.
Yes.
You know, we believe they link to the supernatural side of life.
Yes. So it's superstitions and taboos that we're talking about here, right?
Taboos are just descriptively characterized by things that we are able to do and have got a choice not to do, right? And then with the superstitions, it's just about seeing something and then linking it to a particular event,
yeah,
or an outcome. So in the superstition category, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just something that we are experiencing or seeing or, you know, coming across, like a black cat or, you know, an owl or,
yeah,
you know, one of my favorite ones in the superstitions category is the twitching eye. You know, your eyes,
yeah,
they have got this thing of twitching or like a little vibration.
Yes,
on them.
Yes.
Yes, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just going to happen, and then you must just relate it to something that's coming, whether bad or good, you know. That is superstition.
And do all superstition have that characteristic about them that it can be something either bad or good? Or is it always bad, or is it always good?
Superstitions can be a sign of something good to come or bad to come. Let me give you a quick example on right on this one, on, yeah, of a twitching eye.
Yeah.
This very afternoon, I mean, I was going about with my afternoon, and my right eye kept twitching on the top. So with the eyes, there's the twitching on the top and then at the bottom.
Yeah.
If it's on top, it's good stuff,
okay,
right? At the bottom, it's bad stuff. So I got a twitch on the top, and then I kept wondering, what is this good thing on my way? And then it was actually the type thing was going to call me because I love the subject.
Nice one.
This particular one is one of my favorites. Right? So, yeah, so superstitions are there and can mean, can be for bad and can be for good.
So I had the conversation with my mom-in-law earlier, and she was saying to me, please ask Mohaile, why is it that it is taboo for an elder to fall? And what does it mean?
To
just fall by accident or to fall.
It is an omen, right?
Ah.
Yes, it's an omen of something that is not good in
the family.
And those with clairvoyances, clair audiences, clair intellectuals, and all the clairs you find,
yeah,
may be able to tell of this event that is coming, but it is not a good one.
It is not a good one, yeah?
It's not.
In fact, she said that it was associated back in the day with it being a herald for a possible death in the family.
So we have got, in our languages, we when a person passes on, we have got many ways in which we refer to the event or the incident. And ukukhothama is one of those. And I tend to lean towards what we just said now. It could be related to a person that is going.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously when you go, you will hit the floor one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I find that very practical, very pragmatic.
What is the reason? Is there a reasoning behind it? In other words, okay, so we understand that it means this, but how do we come to that conclusion?
You will need either elders or, like I said just a moment ago, people with those clear voyances and things. In the physical realm, we are literal, right?
Yeah.
But as humans, we are in between realms. We are in presence of those that are no longer with us and are able to give us messages. And if it is a literal event like that, you've got two instances. Either we have an elderly person that could just tell us, no, this is what it means. Or a person with ability to see events that are coming.
Yeah.
May be necessary.
Well, give me a call, 011-883-0702. Any omens, any superstitions, any taboos that you know of that you might want to ask Mohaile Mohashwa, especially that you heard about as a child and grew up with. Why is it, yeah, Mohaile, that sometimes the elders are reticent to explain why, for example, we have to wait for 3 months before we can see a newborn baby straight?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, for example, elders will be reticent to explain why a woman may not eat the meat that comes from the slaughtered beast's head. Why is it that some of these things are so hard for the elders to explain or to speak about?
We come from a culture of leadership and obedience. If you read the old text, we had a system referred to as the mystery system. So people would be gauged if they were ready for information, right? And whether if the information lands in their possession, they are responsible enough to handle it with the deserved respect, right? A very good example in this case would be teaching children about sex, this thing that we do in schools now.
Yeah.
Can you trust children with the information that you're going to give to them? What's the question in the past? So it is not all information that is being withheld from persons, but it is largely people that are not regarded as adults that information is withheld from, because of the notion of the worry or the concern
about the responsibility of
the responsibilities
of having that information.
Of having that information is that thing of, with power comes a great responsibility.
Yes.
If we gave you this car today, are we sure you're not going to drive with your mates to the club with the car? You know?
Yeah.
If I gave you this gun, am I certain that you're not going to go around shooting around at either people's cattle or even humans? So it was about making sure that the person is ready for the information that they are either asking for or you are parting with them for whatever reason.
One I want to ask about just before I start taking calls, the issue about the twins. You might have heard me talk about that.
Yeah, that's a Bantu thing.
So my cousins were twins and one of them passed away. And I saw this, how he was asked to go into the, into the grave itself.
The grave, yeah.
The one that is alive goes into the grave and then comes out again and then only the deceased sibling can now be buried. What's up with it? What's going on there?
So what happens with twins is that twins are in many ways one. There's many things that they share. They came out of one semen and egg, which later parted and became two persons, right?
But that's for uniovular twins, right?
What was it, Brelby?
So that's true for uniovular twins. We have biovular twins. We have, you know?
Okay. Just above that technicality you just gave me now, there's a general belief that twins are one in many ways. Like, they would share certain pains. For example, if one twin is out at the mall and they get hurt, the other twin can apparently feel the similar pains. Or all of a sudden, they'll just be concerned about the other person. They would know that something is wrong with them.
Right.
And that is, now, with that, when one goes in the form of passing away, we believe that they might come back to call their mate. Now, when we send one...
That would be their brother or sister?
Brother or sister.
Okay.
Yeah? We believe that when we send the surviving one into the grave, and then, in fact, what happens is they must cross. So as one is lowered into the grave, the other must be pulled out.
Ah.
It's not just one jumps out and then
we
didn't lower. No, they must. They must. I don't have an English word for it.
They must pass each other quite literally. As the one is being lowered, the other one must be pulled out.
Must be pulled out, yes.
Right, okay.
And what happens there is we are planting isitunzi salo osele, like the one that is surviving.
We are planting the shadow of the one that remains with the one that has passed.
So that when the one that is in there thinks of their brother or sister, they can feel them nearby and they don't have to come back and call them. And what happens is when they call them, they literally need to die so they can go and join them in that realm. So to prevent that, we leave them with the Sithunzi Sabo. So Sithunzi Sabo must be around them.
I'm trying to find the right word for isitunzi because it's not their shade. It is their... sometimes the English world is... The literal meaning of the word isitunzi is a shade, right?
Yeah, the closest you can put it is the shadow. That's why we're
talking
about
shadow, right?
Itself.
The shadow. But actually, it is their spiritual likeness, right?
Yes. So the shadow.
The shadow, not the shade. The shadow.
We are planting the shadow in the house. We call it a house anyway, this thing, the grave.
The grave, right. Okay.
And then they will always be with them. They don't have to come back home and call them to come and be with them.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, 011-883-0702, your experiences, your questions to Mogaele Mogasho about taboos, superstitions, and of course, omens. Love to take your calls around that. And hopefully there can be an explanation. How come you are feeling at liberty to give us these explanations without checking whether or not we'll be responsible with that, enough with the knowledge?
So remember that Wikipedia is a history and anthropology company. And one of the reasons we started Wikipedia is that the old people are living up. And when they do that, they take the information with them. So it is information that is, it is not so critical as such. I mean, it is not like things that we do in the mountains as men, you know. is not the sacred stuff. As Wikipedia, we view it as just information that one day could save a life, you know, educate people themselves.
I'm wondering whether perhaps we shouldn't have a conversation one day, you and I, about the dangers of not knowing.
There's a lot of dangers. If you wanted to compare the benefits, the disadvantages and advantages, you will find a lot of advantages for people knowing.
So I once heard this explanation. And by the way, the calls are starting to come through, 011-883-0702. Your taboos, your superstitions, your...
While we wait for the calls, but I've got like a lot of examples of this thing.
But I want to quickly tell you about this. That part of the reason why people were afraid to talk about this is because there were laws against it. Right? I remember that there was a law, the Witchcraft Act of what. And part of the stipulations of the law is that you cannot speak of so-called superstitious issues because it was against the religious sort of understanding of the government of the time, right? And it was punishable sometimes by death. So people were afraid to speak about it,
The reason why the so-called witchcraft war had to be suppressed, it was a game of chess. It was viewed as a weapon, right? Yeah. If we suppress the weapon, then you can't use it against us. So it had to be kept away from people. That's why people can only practice witchcraft at night. And then, but you know, in other liberated countries, in the Europe and some countries in Africa as well, do their witchcraft during the day, and there's even like festivals and tournaments about it. You know,
Yeah, I remember that in England, there's like an open witchcraft ceremony at the Stonehenge.
Yeah, it's a festival. People come.
Yeah, people go and do things there and all sorts of things. Anyway.
We were channeled into hiding it so we can't use it.
Yeah.
Against the oppressor. But yeah, that's what.
011-883-0702. Wadzi Wadzanai says, I don't know which language it is. It sounds like it's Shona. Wadzi Wadzanai says, they are Mumvuri. Is that Shona?
Would be Shona, yes.
Yeah, it says, Aubrey, they are Mumvuri. You're right. There is no English word for it. Indeed. But we can get creative about these things. Mumvuri, your shadow is tunes. Please, those of you who are... Hey, there was a guy who phoned in yesterday. He's talking big English, man. He taught us a new name, a new word. Maybe he could give us a call, man. What is his tunes in English? Maybe you can help us out there with that word. Let me speak to Eric in River Park. Good evening to you, Eric.
Ah, good evening, Art.
Good evening to you, sir. What is on your mind?
I just want to ask your host, the last time about... Is it a superstition or an omen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to ask him, because the last time I went to a competition, South African Breweries competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not the previous day. It was not the previous day. I saw a big cat. A big one, a big cat, the size of a dog.
Yo.
And I was so scared. But that cat didn't scare me.
Mm-mm.
And then the following day, I went to the competition, and that cat was white with black feet. So I went to the competition, and I won a car.
You won a car?
Yes, I won a car, a white car with black walls.
Oh, there you go, hey.
Yeah, but I want to know, is it superstition or is it my luck?
There's times when we receive messages or signs from other realms about events that are about to happen in our lives. But if you ask me immediately after seeing that kid, I wouldn't have put anything close to a car about it. Do you know what I mean? So for what is how it turned out, the cat was just a sign of something good that was to come out, and that falls under the category of superstition.
Yeah, you see, there's a range of car that Ford has come out with called the Puma. And I'm thinking maybe Eric won a Puma, man. Let's take some calls. Muiboni is in Soweto. Hi, Muiboni.
Hi, Adatabu. How are you?
I'm well, my sister. What is the question for Mogaili?
Before I get to the question, I think the word to describe Seriti is twins is aura.
Aura. Or hey, Mughaila, does that work for you?
Aura. I relate aura to a persona, and yes, you could say it's twins, yes, because it has got. They are related. I'll take it. They are related.
Yeah, it works for me, Muiboni. Listen, I'm not an expert in this stuff. Mughaila has got some misgivings about it, and I understand. I mean, somebody like Mughaila, who wants the kind of precision of a scientist, he's probably. But I'm happy to work with aura for now. And by the way,
yeah,
I'm happy for others to give us their versions of what they mean. Is tunes, is siriti, is. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. So go ahead, Muiboni.
Yeah, and it's a sort of asitologu anyway.
It's a sort of asitologu.
My question is, when I was young, I lost my mom at a young age. And then after her funeral, I dreamt of her calling me. So then I woke up in the morning and I told my grandmother that I dreamt of my mom calling me. And she was like, when you dream about her again tonight, which you will, tell her you're fine, you're sitting with me. She mustn't come and fetch you.
Yes.
What's up with that superstition?
That is similar to the twin thing. The other twin will come and call the other one. So the mom could have been concerned of your well-being, welfare, and all the other things. In their own configuration, they thought they were a better person to be with you. So that is why we say singaband, prelebat. A person that has passed on in the family should not call you in a dream. They are, and if they do not answer.
If they do call you in a dream, do not answer. Or can
do
you
not
just,
answer.
Can't you just tell them, hey, koko man, kisha apuiso?
No, because now she's reported to Gogo. They were supposed to now go and speak with her, with the child, with them. Or Diana, the baby is fine, don't worry. We're looking after her or him, whatever. So, yeah.
But why would she be worried? Sorry, Boni, I don't want you to go because I've got another question for you.
There is it could just be general concern.
Yeah.
And another twist of it could be black magic. So, in another twist, black people are able to use the dead in your family to take you.
Exe.
Yes.
What does that mean? My love, one truth.
No. It's like we've got abilities as humans, right? We've got like hectic abilities. So in the Department of Witchcraft, yes, we can use the dead in your clan to get to you.
Hey, Muiboni, I don't even know how to ask a follow-up question there. Tell me, Muiboni, have you ever been refused to eat in your intro?
Yes, I have. And I always ask my grandfather, why can't we eat it? And I was I never received a straight answer until I was older.
Yeah.
And I would ask some gents I'm chilling with, gents, why is it that you say we can't eat inyama and sorghum? And they gave me some explanation. I don't know if I should share it.
Share.
They said something along the lines that inyama and sorghum and umhlu tend to make a woman want to have more sex than they normally should be.
So there's an aphrodisiac quality to eating the meat that comes from the head of a beast?
Yes.
Nomhluzu.
Yes. Apparently it's a very, very big aphrodisiac. And also, umhluzu also helps with fertility for women. Apparently.
So why don't we give the women the meat, man?
the explanation there would be that the world was very patriarchal in nature, right?
Yeah.
So we as men would rather have us as men
be the ones that have the virility,
that have the drive.
Yeah.
Because if mainly and I want to let the drive, and maybe now I'm not feeling well or I'm not in good shape, whatever the story is,
it may make her look elsewhere.
Yes.
And so we pony, final question for you, my sister. So did you try the head meat there?
Yes, I do eat it.
And you're all right, eh?
I am very all right.
My pony, thank you so much for your call. Mm. Listen, I enjoy to go and eat meat from their head, Komaimai, and other places.
Mm.
And I recommend it. By the way, if you want to enjoy a bride meat, traditional style, go to Guamaimai. Go to Guamaimai and enjoy put
and while,
but I see a lot of sisters eating in Yama and Togo.
Yeah, no, Mandela saved them, so you know. That's what it is. But while we're on meat...
No. You can't go there. Come back, Papa. Come back. Shouldn't it be taboo even there?
Are you
suggesting to me that commercialism has taken over?
It has taken over because in our family units, Komahain, Emakaya, in the Bundus, the men made all the decisions and everybody else has followed, right? So we are in Joburg. I mean, this lady works for her money and she can get in her own car and drive to Guamaimai. And then if Nyama and Togo is 80 rand, she's got 80 rand.
She's got 160 rand, man.
You know what I mean?
What you talking about, man? She's got 160 rand and other monies, man.
So that's just the reality of what has happened.
Okay, but basically the reason why Inyama entlogo, which is the meat from the head, is not offered to women is because there's a belief that it has aphrodisiac powers.
It was that. There was two reasons, right? Yeah. It was the aphrodisiac powers. And then we also believe that as it gives people, it makes them headstrong. It makes people fall naturally into leading character. It gives them...
Oh, so they become very, very... what's the right word? They become very, very assertive.
They become assertive. They become heads of families for real. So we believe it helped in that regard as well.
Oh,
and then if you had that meat and then umama and I had that meat, there's going to be clashing of heads in the house.
All right. Yeah. Let me speak to Zamani in Daveyton. Zamani.
Lochani, when I'm saying Lochani by Machiani, it's because of the topic that you've got today.
Yes.
The gentleman you've got, Sifugren Janboba. Sibetha Jalong is Kate, because what you are talking about is have to do more with Abosomland. Abosomland, there are people that I'm part of Abosomland, people that we've got a lot of taboos going around the topics that when you sit around the table talking about Umlando, there will be taboos. A taboo is something like saying this one can eat this one can eat this. But when you look at it deeply, you'll find out that Umlando is what happened before you, before your father, before Umlando. Then it will tell you why is it today. We can't dispute a woman eating inyama endloka mayima. You know why?
Why?
You've said it of yourself that it has been commercialized at the stage of Gwamaimai. Is the only thing that is in Gwamaimai is that zulization of the place, but there's nothing more in it culturally there. I don't know. You get what my point?
No, I get your point, but this is why I asked the question to Mokhaile, and I'm going to ask you that question, Zamani, as Usomland. By the way, Usomland is a chronicler of histories. It's somebody who is a repository of historical facts, right? So you'll see in the Bible there's a book called the Book of Chronicles. That is the people that are repositories of the history of a people. And Zamani is a Somland. So I'm asking you, Zamani, why? I mean, that's a great opportunity for us if you go to an Italian restaurant, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, you'll see that they still have their own customs. Shouldn't we be then saying that? I'm asking because I'm trying to get the logic.
Yes, you know why? What it will be different? When you go to it, let's say when you talk about it in Italian, where you will be talking about the romance of it. When I'm saying the romance of it, we know that the Italians are the custodian of the Roman culture. When you talk about that, the symbolization of the Roman culture, which will include mostly the Italian, yes, the other Latin nation like us, but it will mostly include the Italian ways. And then those guys, they don't distort their culture. They don't distort where they're coming from. I'm telling you, it's very easy to find an Italian family that when it's 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I know what I'm talking about. They'll call each other as a family to say, come, let's eat. They always do that. I don't know that. Have you noticed Italians?
Yeah, I've seen that. No, and it's not just Italians. Let me say that most Mediterranean Europeans are very cool
nations,
about that.
Yes.
So the Greeks, the Portuguese are similar. But okay, let me ask you this, Zamani. Why is it that for example, we will not allow women to eat eggs, for example?
It's quite simple. The woman before has explained it again. It's because of the issue of fertilization. You know, eggs and the fertility, they go hand in hand.
No, I don't. Tell me, explain it to me.
What happens? They said that when a woman eat the egg,
yes,
it's actually somehow going to temper with her fertilization to have children, because she's already putting something that resembles an embryo or something that she's got already. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
So because she is a producer of eggs herself, she may
she
not
can eat
eggs.
What she produces. Yes.
We
don't produce eggs.
We produce ones with little tails, but
let's not go there. Those are not eggs, you know. We can't go there.
No problem. But it can't help Nendonga.
All right,
Zamani. I'm genuinely wanting to understand why is it that we keep these things secret? Why are they secret?
They are secret because let me be clear with you. Because of we lost that to keep them secret, hence we were defeated by the colonizers. I'll make an example about Ndebele, I'm in Ndebele, you are in Ndebele, but there's a Ndebele in Zimbabwe that is, people don't know that those Ndebele in Zimbabwe, they stayed with us as Ndebele in South Africa to cross to Zimbabwe. Hence, they got a lot of things tracing back to us. Why I'm saying like that? They came from Natal. It was not long ago, 1800. Then they passed, and then Zidigazi changed the way to Nkulunkulu and what, and then he crossed with the word Molimo. Molimo, he took from the Bashweshwe and went with it to Zimbabwe. You know who destroyed Molimo in Zimbabwe? It's Cecil John Rhodes, because he wanted to destroy Umlando. He destroyed the sacred place in Zimbabwe where the Ndebele were worshipping Umlimo. Then they've seen that they were not able to defeat the Ndebele because of Umlimo. I'm just making an elaboration on what
happened. Why would we keep it secret then?
For the simple reason that why are Italians keeping what we are talking about secret? Why are they eating as a family? Because they won't tell you what are they doing there. Am I wrong? Have they ever told you that? Because it will only be they eat the family and then they close the door. If they don't care that is their customers or what, they close the door and eat alone. We don't know what they are doing there. That's what we should have kept. But we didn't do that.
But we don't know. We still don't know. I mean, here I am, Ndebele man. I don't know how exactly I'm going to explain certain things unless I have to come to Zamani, who is also still not telling me.
As is in the Bamachiani, I think against the Bukhajwini, we need to sit. As Ndebeleans, you know that.
I know. Zamani in Daveyton. Oh, na magunutu lidi pirite mokhaile. These secrets, and it's not doing us well, man. All right, let me take some more calls. Okay. Stembiso is in Johannesburg. Hi, Stembiso.
Hi, Obi, how are you?
I'm well, I'm very well, Timbi. So what's on your mind?
I'm good. I just wanted to ask Haile Mokashwa there about the wrapping of women wrapping their hair.
Yes.
While they're trying to put them.
So why do women in family functions have to wrap their hair, to cover their hair, yeah?
Yes. So, can you explain to me if I'm wrong or right? Because I've read that comes from the so-called Pigeon Law, whereby the oppressors at that time, while they oppressed our African women, when they were visited, they felt they would be attracted to the hairness of the African ladies, right? Then the prevailing.
We're listening.
Then the women of those oppressors, they came up with the law to say they should cover their hair so that their men could not be attracted to the African men. So I'm not sure whether that's true or what, but that's the explanation that I've got. So which came to my mind that, I don't know, would it be wrong if I don't let my wife, when I get to that point, because I'm only 25 years from now. So should I get to a point where I want to get married and then I don't allow my wife to do that? Will it be wrong, or how does he perceive that?
All right. Stembiso, thanks very much. Mohaile?
Wrapping of the head by women has got two functions. We first show respect, and they don't have to wrap their head all the time. It is when we either we go into places that we consider holy, or maybe we're going to pasha, or it serves as a sign of respect to the area we go into or the person we'll be talking to. That is the one function. The second function...
But it still doesn't explain it to me, okay? And I know I'm being a bit pedantic. What is respectful about covering your hair? What makes it respectful?
I wouldn't give you the reasons for what makes it respectful, but it served as a sign of.
Yeah. I've heard some stuff, but I thought you were going to give me something else. Okay, all right. Then second function.
Yes, and then in the second function, it was in the practical way in which women would, in most cases, either be cooking or cleaning and doing the other things. So it would be said that the hair is protected from ending up in the people's food and so on.
Very practical, sort of functional reason. All right, I want to tell you what I know. All right, in a few moments' time. Happy is in Johannesburg. Hi, Happy.
Hey, how are you, Brown?
I'm very good, thanks, Happy. What's on your mind, man?
Yeah, what happened is when I was young, about 6 years old, I think 7 years old in Nelson. My grandmother told me when there's moon in a person who sees seven shadows. Then when that person dies, one of the last one, the one that seems a little bit clear.
Yeah.
When that person dies, you can see that shadow if you take a mirror and look at it. Okay, I tried it, and 100% it happened, Raoul. You can try it too.
What did you try? What did you try, Happy?
Let's hear it again.
When there's a moon.
Yes.
When there's a moon. Let's say the
like a full moon.
Yeah, okay. Like a full moon. A person has you can see about seven shadows of that person, which I'm sure you know.
Seven shadows?
Yeah, as a person. When everyone, like you can see it too. Me, I can see it too. Everyone can see it.
During the full moon at night?
Yeah, when there's a full moon at night. Maybe you stand next to a wall or something. You can see there's one that is more clear and there's one that is clearer and one that... I don't know, because I thought it was a superstition. Then you say when that person dies, one of them will remain. That's when if that person, you go to that house of where the person was staying, you can feel a little bit hot or your hairs are raising and things like that. But I still don't understand it, but I feel it because I once tried it. I don't know how it happened, whether it's there. I don't know. But it's something you can
Yeah.
Try. All right. Happy. I want to take one more call and then you can wrap up, please, Mokai.
All right.
Tabo.
All
right.
Hello.
Tabo, go ahead.
Yeah, evening, and your guest there. Quite interesting topic. Yeah, let me, Braobza, go straight to the point.
Yes.
You actually highlighted one of the things that I actually wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
The issue ya gore ere ke bua Setswana ka re ra latlhaganyane re bua Sisma. I'll translate.
So Tabo's saying that he's going to say what he needs to say in Setswana because he doesn't have the English words and he hopes I can translate what he...
Yeah, now... There is this time when we coming from the cemetery.
Yes.
And then when we coming from the cemetery, back from the cemetery, ga re kena ka mogai.
Yes.
Before re ka kena ka mogai, ba ba metsi. And then o kre ba kentse dikhokopane ka mogare. Bit of alu ka mogare. And then we are supposed to wash our hands. What is the teaching all about? What is it? Because it seems like people are not even, some of them are not even doing it. Some are doing it.
Very quickly, there's a custom amongst our people where when we come from the cemetery after burying somebody, there is a bowl of water that is put outside the homestead. The idea is that we are all supposed to wash our hands before we enter the home. Why is that? What is the teaching? What is the story behind that? Mohaile, and then, of course, the seven shadows just before we close. Thanks, Tabo. Please listen on the radio.
So at the cemetery is an area that is considered to have dark energy, right? That is why the water he's referring to will have things like alu and other herbs that people might use. But the popular one is alu.
Yep.
It cleanses the dark energy that we have gone and collected at the cemetery.
So why do we cleanse the hands and not the feet and not the whole body?
It is just about having touched the water with a part of your body.
Oh, that's so I could drink the water if I...
No, you can't drink the water. It's to wash your hands. And with the seven shadows, I'm going to be honest. It is the story I'm hearing for the first time. So I've just noted it. I'm going to investigate it and we'll report later.
The seven shadows story sounds very, very, very interestingly familiar to the seven chakras, the Seven Auras. Story that you've heard. Very quickly, let me tell you what I've heard about
the coming of that. I was waiting for you to get us there, yes.
The teachings that go to what we now call the Middle East. All right, now they're telling me I can't tell you.
There's time. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna let you go. And next time you and I meet, I'll tell you the story. Ne?
We'll get the story there.
Mkhayelo Mkhasha, how do people find you?
We are at Wikipedia or on X and in Facebook as well. Yeah.
Always great talking to you, my friend. Thank you very much for coming.